Well, hey, you all. Welcome to the Sandy Savage Show. I'm your host, Sandy Savage. This podcast is a weekly podcast dedicated to the dreamers, the doers, the creatives, love, inspiration, and joy. We will be hearing the stories, motivations, daily lives, and dreams of men and women who are out there going for it. Now, I'm a business owner, a nonprofit founder, a ninth-generation Kentuckian, and married to the most awesome man, Tim Savage. I love to write, create, work with all the yarn, teach, and learn. So I want us to have an open dialogue about faith, life, challenging times and how we work through that, and how to maintain joy through it all. So, thanks for listening. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody. This is Sandy Savage. Welcome to the podcast. With me today, I'm super excited. I have got a great friend of mine, Billy Frey, and I'm going to ask him a few questions and talk about what he's doing in his life right now. So I'm going to jump right in. Billy, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, espresso's got me on my toes.
Got you on your toes. Good to go. I was doing some math, Billy, and I don't know if you realize it. We have known each other 17 years.
Shh. No, dude, that's a long time.
17 years.
Yeah, wow.
Can you go
with that? No. I think I have one pair of socks that is about the same age. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. 17 years. Yeah.
So I was really excited to get you on here and talk about a little bit of what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Lately. But first, tell us about yourself. Tell me about what you're doing, what you're in the middle of right now, who you are. Fill everybody in.
Okay. I'll try to keep it short and to the point. One of my favorite words these days is transition. Uh-huh. And because it's kind of gray and you don't have to nail anything particularly down, but it's been a transitional couple of years. The short version, just living overseas and then coming back to Lexington, which is where my wife, Lorelai, and I are from. And we've got two small kids, age 6 and 3, almost 3. She'll turn 3 next week, but she claims it now. So just the transition of my wife works full-time as a nurse at Central Baptist Hospital, and I've been like full-on daddy daycare. And learning kind of what that actually means and spending time with them, but also trying to pursue things that I'm not saying I'm not passionate about being a dad, because I am,
right.
But trying to follow things that I'm passionate about, like film and writing and just some other things. So just transitioning into that and trying to do things well.
Right.
Yeah. So that's been a stretch.
So you were overseas for a bit, where were you?
Yeah, about 5 years. We were living in London, England, and just sort of moved from rebranding a coffee house to working with London City Mission and trying to marry those two things together, like faith and business and relationships, and just navigating like what it's like to live in a different culture, but also like live out the life that you feel like you're making a difference. Mm-hmm. But also feeling like you're not making a difference all at the same time of you know, taking risks or taking the right risks and everything that's on the other side of that, like the things that your fears kind of keep you from doing. But then on the other side of them, when you plow through those fears or go around them, you have relationships that last a lifetime and just things that you look back on and go, oh, it was absolutely worth it. That it's, it's not all a bowl of cherries, but yeah, we love living there. Moved back here for a season. We don't know how long, but also we want to be fully present. Like,
right.
However long we're back in the bluegrass, like we want to, do what we're supposed to be doing. So,
Tell me about your current project. So you were there, you're in London, you're back. You've been in this period of transition. So what are you in the middle of right now?
Yeah, so this coffee house called Husk Coffee in London, it was sort of like part coffee shop, part art gallery, and part creative acting studio. Mm-hmm. And actually there was also a bakery involved as well for women coming out of like trafficking situations. Oh, nice. And teaching skills so that they could, you know, find gainful employment coming out of that life. Mm-hmm. So all this is happening, and being around so many creative people, like, it touched a part of me that, like, in my 20s, I had done some acting, mostly like stage acting, and I kept wanting to like dabble in writing. So I'd sit in on the writing workshops that they would have, and yet I could never seemingly find the time to actually fully write something. Right. I would like write part of things and put it on the shelf. And I must have like 50,
I'm so with
100,
you.
Yeah, just get something on paper. Right. And I would have characters. I'm like, oh, I'd love for that to become something. And then I would short circuit it, just say like, oh, somebody's already done it, or, right, you know, or just whatever reason, I would put it on the shelf. And then when we moved back here in this transition, mm-hmm, I was thinking, well, if now is not the time to try something, I don't know when would be, but I kept finding reasons not to. And then an opportunity came up to use someone's really nice camera, basically, you know, the Canon 300 Mark II, which to me, I was like, I don't know what that means, but it's really nice. Right. And the guy offered, so I'm going to take him up on it. Uh-huh. And then some other pieces fell into place of some acting friends, and just decided, hey, let's go for this film project. We're going to try to make a short film. And then through connections we have in London, we're going to try to get it in some film festivals over there and see what happens. So yeah, this project started, the rumbling started for the last couple of years. The actual like writing and the film happened in March. Like, wow. So it went from an idea in the head to writing it to getting all the pieces in place within a few weeks. And again, I don't know if that's just me. I felt like if I didn't do something with that momentum, it would, mm-hmm, get put back on a shelf again.
Right.
And I'd still be sitting here without this on, or maybe it's on, and talking about like, you know, someday I should actually try that.
Right. But, yeah. Exactly. Whereas I think a lot of ideas that people have, especially creative ideas,
yeah,
that's where they end up.
Yeah, no doubt.
You go, oh, well, I'm going to get to that at some point.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to it at some point. But yeah, you just plow through and you went,
yeah,
we're going to do this.
And I should probably lead out too with the I think I mentioned to you at some point, like, I'm by no means an expert at either risk taking, uh-huh, or writing or filmmaking or anything for that matter. I mean, dadding, not an expert, but all that stuff. It is a point where it's like, either people talk about it their whole lives or they do it. You know, people are still approaching me now, as if I'm a coffee expert, like a coffee house.
Right.
And it's like, I'm not really, but I've pulled enough experts in the field of barista and coffee making, and, you know, of, you know, whether it was roasting, all those things, I pulled them all together. They're experts. Uh-huh. I think the fact that I pushed it all through and made something happen doesn't make me an expert, but it is to some degree, I guess I've gotten okay at pulling the trigger on something and just saying, let's try it, mm-hmm, you know? And I think becoming more comfortable with failing, right, you know? Like, and that could be in small projects. Mm-hmm. I just wrecked a home project the other day. I hate to admit that. Like,
what,
people watching or listening. I mean, I just, like, I'm never satisfied. We live in an older house. And it's like in this transition, I'm always like trying to like I've got everything from a cafe bike that I'm building. Took off a thumbnail the other day trying to fix it. I'm watching YouTube videos trying to figure out how to do this.
I know everything.
Yeah. And like our front columns, I'm going to keep this really short, but our front columns are those, like, and some people, forgive me if you love these metal like columns on the front of houses, like circa 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
I typically don't even see them. It's like something you don't see because it's there all the time. Uh-huh. And then one day you just see it and it's like, that's got to go. You know,
this is going.
So I hear my old man in my head, you measure twice, cut once, you know, and I measured it, knew the boards I needed to make like these faux columns around it to make it look like wooden columns. I get to Home Depot and I go in and it's like, I measure it out. Yep, these are the boards I need. And then I glance over and see these like pressure treated boards that I think, oh, those would be better outside. Mm-hmm. But I forget to measure them and they're like an inch and a half shorter than what I need. But I load up, have them cut it, take it home, put it up. I'm like, what? And it's the wrong boards. And newsflash, they don't take cut boards back at Home Depot. So it's like, oh, man. And I'm just, yeah.
Dude, bring it in here and build something.
Well, I think you know, right. my daughter's already got me like, could you build me a sandbox for my American doll? Right. And I'm like, yes, I can. But now I have to stare at these metal posts for the next thing because we don't have the income to do it straight away. I'm going to raise money to do this again. Yeah,
I know. I totally, I went to Lowe's or Home Depot a couple of months ago and I was walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
And I stopped at the wood and I was like, you know, I think I could make a 6-foot loom. I think I could figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to figure it out. So I was standing there looking at a guy walked by me and said, you do not look happy. I said, oh, no, I'm just trying to figure out something. Just trying to figure out something. But that wood, yeah, it's in my garage. I will, I'll build something out of it one of these days.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know? But you've got it. And it's important, though, to have, I think, project specific. Yes. At least that's my experience. Because if you go into one of those type stores, if you're not, you know, if you don't have a laser beam focus, mm-hmm. you'll come out with either a bunch of crap you don't need or pieces of project and you never get a project done.
Yeah. Exactly. Like when you were going into the film, did you have like a really laser focus of what you wanted the outcome to be?
I think it became laser focused. Mm-hmm. Because I don't particularly think of myself as a creative person, although I have changed that over time. I think I'm a creative person, but I could never sort of lump it in with, you know, I'm musically inclined. I mean, I can play guitar and some stuff, or I'm an actor. I'm an okay actor. You know, it is the typical sort of jack of all things, master of none. And I was like, but I am creative. But one of the things I either learned or picked up along the way is like to be a finisher. Like how does a project go from A to B and you actually finish it versus have like, and it doesn't mean you can't have like projects like that are partly done and you come back to. Mm-hmm. I think that's all part of a process. But like, are you ever going to actually get it done?
Right.
You know, and that with this film project, I think it started out with pieces of, and then I realized quick I needed to be the one. To, if I don't finish this, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and even though this is a smaller film project, you know, the cost was real to me mm-hmm. as far as like, okay, do I skimp on sound? Do I skimp right. on actors? Is there anywhere that this is going to kind of fall short? Because part of the creative process was how do you get creative if you don't have $1 million budget, you know, but you don't want to skimp on quality. So,
exactly. So
where's that going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, you're either going to like, jump in and help it out along the way or get creative to where it just doesn't bite. You know, it's just mm-hmm. that's a very real part of this. I mean, yeah.
Well, now that you're on the other side of it, is there something that you like that you wish you knew starting out with it or like the that you learned along the way that you said, oh my gosh, this next creative project I do, I'm for sure going to do this.
Yeah, I guess this isn't like, this might not be the most satisfying answer, but it's a very real answer.
Right.
And I think it can be applied to life uh-huh. too. Nothing ever turns out as you think mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you have an idea in your mind, it may mostly come out like that, but the reality is going to be nothing comes very, as in my experience and a lot of people I've spoken to, nothing tends to come out like easy. Mm-hmm. Like you don't just go to your corner shop and buy it and it's done perfect. That's exactly what you're after. It's kind of like, here's an example. In one of the scenes in this short film, it's like I had relationally negotiated time to shoot in this church. Well, somehow I got lost in translation that the window of time to be able to shoot in this church and side note, use the monk in training's outfit like for the priest in this shot. I thought it was kind of open-ended. We'd have a few hours there. Well, it turns out we had like 45 minutes.
Oh gosh.
and lost the outfit halfway through the shoot because the monk in training had to leave. So I've got like a hair and makeup lady. I'm like, I, you know, I paid you some money. Can you, you were asking me about blood and gore. We're not having that in this film. Can you make like a priest collar? You know, so that's a little behind the scenes look. Like in the scene, the priest collar is actually like, I think it's toilet paper. I don't know. Like, I mean, she was, that's our movie magic budget. She was like, I guess I can do that.
You know? I can fashion something out of paper products. Yeah.
Post edit, the guy was asking me like, what's sticking out of his collar there? What's wrong going on with his collar? I was like, just Photoshop it.
Can you take that
can
out?
We do that? Yeah. So, yeah, the lesson is nothing ever seems to come out like, and that's okay. You know, just go anyway.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
Were there any other obstacles that you were like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was going to be an obstacle. And how did you get through it?
Film specific?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I've got like a little notebook of pitfall things that I was just like, what? This takes this long. So, anything from like how long it takes to move the filming company, like the company itself, like to get a shot of pouring, you know, an espresso or a cup of tea, it was baffling to me, like how long and how many shots it would take. I was just like, we can't cuss on here, but it was just like, just pour the tea, just pour it.
Just pour it.
Next shot.
Get it done.
Moving along, you know, because you as the director of the thing, and if you're working it as the producer director, you're moving the whole team down the field and know where you need to get. And then this thing, it was a one day shoot of, I mean, you have the, like you're tallying all the costs involved. So I've got this Excel sheet in my head going like, okay, well, you know, I can't afford pickup shots, like to get all the actors back for a day, another day, that's another grand, you know? So not to mention the domino effect of that, you need the actors. Well, then you need the camera back, and then you need the DP, and you need all these different pieces and props. Not to mention the weather and the overcast day, like as things were moving, it was just like, these things matter. And you're the only one carrying that at that point. You know, everyone else doesn't care. They're out having a sandwich break. You know? Right. You're like, where's my supporting crew? Where's the cast? Where's the actor
going? Run off to?
Yeah. Isn't there usually somebody that does that? Oh, it's you.
Oh, it's you.
Okay. So there's a lot of sweat equity that went into this project, this film, that is all fine because I took on this the next project, which, you know, there will be one once I recover, and you know, the stress, take a breath, the stress that's on a marriage that goes through this, like once we get through that, then we'll look at the next one. I'm going to go through this notebook, and I think one of the other big ones is top to bottom. Now knowing what I know, like the different roles in play, from the crew to the cast to the post edit, I will have those things as much in place as possible. Because again, true to form, nothing's going to go off without a hitch.
Right.
But there are some things that you can kind of like shore up and have in mind or in place ahead of time that make the project go more smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you'll always have that, what's that old Mike Tyson quote? Like, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. You know, you can plan the heck out of it. It's still going to, that punch is still going to come. It's still going to come somewhere. But you can, you know, you can, all these random quotes are coming into my head right now. Like, Mark Wahlberg, like he said, like, he was never afraid of a project or something, but he was always afraid of not being prepared enough. Like, so he's never scared of stepping in, but not being prepared. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of know what that feels like, you know? And I think being prepared takes some of the fear out of it. Like, you know, something's not going to go right, but you just jump in.
So, you plow ahead. You plow ahead anyway.
That could be the theme of this podcast. Just
plow ahead.
Just plow on. Drink espresso.
Drink espresso and plow on.
Yes.
We love our espresso. Yes, we do. What advice? Thank you, George Clooney. What advice would you give someone who was? We've got plow ahead.
Yeah.
But to give someone, if they said, "Okay, I want to step into this creative realm of directing and writing and getting a short or a full feature film out there," like what would you tell them?
Well, I, again, this will expose, I guess, how non-expert I am in this, but like, I mean, you see these things, you know, for my own sanity, I kind of unplugged from Facebook as a whole, like, but I'll keep the messenger on so I can, you know, get messages from friends mm-hmm. on Facebook. And to some degree, I'll stay connected like to Instagram, you know, and what you're getting is like a filtered version of people's lives. So mm-hmm. in some ways that can a little be depressing or just the political aspects and stuff. So for my own peace of mind and my own just whatever, I sort of unplugged from that a bit. What was the original question you just asked?
Because I was like, what would you tell somebody getting into this? Like if they wanted to create something.
Yeah. So the reason I bring that, you know, up is like, I think if you're taking in like information from Facebook or wherever, it's like, before I unplugged, masterclass things would pop up like on acting mm-hmm. and directing. And they're like, you know, one of them, I think it was James Cameron or somebody, said like, you pick up a camera, you're a filmmaker. And I'm like, okay. I know there's a little bit more to it than that, but, and another guy told you to read a book called The Peregrine, which I did. I went and bought it. He was like, this is the only actual book. You don't need to read Sid Field and all these movie making books, which I had read from people coming through these writing workshops, just, you know, an idea of screenwriting and how it differs from just book writing and what have you. Mm-hmm. So all those were like little helpful things, which sort of play into this, you know, the reason I read The Peregrine, it was really about passion. Like it's about someone that's filming these two, you know, birds of prey in England over a 10-year span. And like, you read it, you're going like, you're really passionate about these birds. And it's like, but it kind of makes me passionate about like wanting to learn a little bit more about that. You know, it may not be across the board, but to some degree, when I meet somebody that's passionate about anything, I mean, on your walls is macrame. We chatted about briefly, like somebody that's passionate about it, I'll give it a listen. Like what, right. Why do you like that so much? You know, I remember my sisters making like owl tank tops growing up. But yeah, it's a little off topic. My point would be, I guess, if you take in those information trails and then if an opportunity comes up, like in my case, it was the use of a camera or just a, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not me? Just try it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be, you know, the next Scorsese. I'm not looking to be rich or famous or anything. This to me was just like something that was inside and wanted to come out. Mm-hmm. And like, am I going to do it? Am I going to do it and hopefully do it well? And then like the equippings that you had along the way, if nothing else, like, I feel like I've learned a ton. And to me, that's part of just evolving. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're willing to like grow and learn, which hopefully we all are all the time. My advice would be to not just sit back and wait for it to happen. You could sit back, but keep an eye open for like opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, because the timing, you know, it may or may not ever be right. So you could have some discernment in there to determine what's right for you to do mm-hmm. it. But because there usually is, always is, like a cost involved too. And that's worth like kind of weighing out the when. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it should be paralyzing. Like even if it's a small opportunity to take the first step, mm-hmm. why not take that first step and see if it opens up a door to another step. And if that's sort of like a an unplugged point of just like, okay, maybe not now, but I've got that piece in there to try the next. I don't know. Yeah. That's my answer.
I love that. You talked about a couple of books that you're reading too. Do you have any books that you suggest to anybody or any podcasts that you listen to?
I do. I don't know. I don't know if they're, how helpful they are though. I think
have to be topic specific. Well, you mentioned normal earlier.
I was like, I don't really know what normal is. Like I find out more and more that I'm maybe not normal, what I thought was normal. Or maybe that's, yeah, I don't know. Lorelai, my wife, tells me how not normal I am every day. But I think, well, I don't know. You be the judge. Listening audience, viewing audience, you guys can be the judge of it. So I tend to, I tend to try to take in as much information as I can. Uh-huh. And I don't know if I heard that somewhere, you know, growing up or right. living life, that you should read outside of like what, you know, your interests
exactly.
are.
Yeah.
To not try to become an expert in it, but it may actually expand your view and knowledge of what you are interested mm-hmm. in. So I've always like, whether I'm in an airport, going through your bookstore there, I'll always grab, like I may grab a book on macrame or something, just
right.
like, or you know, Motorcycle Weekly or Gearheads or something that doesn't actually apply to a field I'm interested in, but it'll like, oh, interesting, you know, thought to have to come at something. So recently, actually in an airport, I picked up Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, which is a good read. By Neil deGrasse Tyson, and it's a fire hose of just astrophysics and astronomy, and just I think the preface in it says, you know, who among us has at some point looked up at the night sky and wondered, like, you know, what's it all about, or how does it work, and what's mm-hmm. my place in the universe, mm-hmm. and then fleshes it out in very layman terms of like, what's a black hole, you know, and just right. spells it out. Although I think some recent stuff came to light about his character, but you know, whatever, the book's a good read and you may enjoy right. it. And it's an easy read. You read it in 48, 72 hours and it's, yeah, it's a good read. Podcast wise, you know, I guess you can say this on the, like my favorite murder, mm-hmm. some friends of mine on holiday pointed me in the direction of that. And while I can't, you know, some of it, like one of the, I enjoy the banter. I actually enjoy the side stories a lot of uh-huh. times. I mean, as far as the murder and like our fascination with that as people, you know, they're pretty respectful to it, but mm-hmm. you know, that's the interest of the podcast, but then the offshoot information they get is interesting to me. Like they discovered a 400-year-old shark off the coast of Greenland. And so that sort of information comes in, and uh-huh. I'm like, wow, and then we'll talk yeah. about it. So it's like, what was that like? What's that like? So, you know, it's just like one of the girls just, I don't have any necessarily thing against cussing, but one of them is just, she cusses so much. It just seems like the IQ levels come down because it is like, man, you could just edit that out a little bit. I'd be way, way more into it, but I just find it kind of entertaining.
Well, we will, we'll link all that. You also, it'll be linked in the show notes of the actual podcast. I have a question for you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Bring it.
What question do you wish people would ask you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought about that. Like, what gym do I belong to?
That would there be you nice. Go. That's a good one.
Nobody seems to be asking me that question. I don't know.
Gym, why?
I mean. I think the question, some of it, what you were asking, like I think one of my favorite things since starting this film project, which is kind of funny to me on the one side that people approach me as if I am like this new expert in the field or budding filmmaker. And it's like, no, dude, I just made something, which I think is actually a good film. Like I'd watch it. But again, you see it with a different lens. See what I did there? Like you see it differently because I see all the things that didn't work out right or the things that could potentially be failings, but I'm sure that is common. I don't but I think it's happened like a handful of times so far, and this has been since March. Mm-hmm. So we're in May, just in a 3-month span, five people, I don't know, the not a math guy, but the percentages of that seems pretty high, that people have come up to me and said they had heard or seen something about this on Facebook or what have you, and it's inspired them to actually try something new.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's like that question or them, somebody mm-hmm. coming up to me and asking me like, hey, do you think I ought to try this? I mean, if it's a complete bonehead idea, I may weigh in on it. You know, I may have an opinion, but in general, I really like that question. Like mm-hmm. if somebody is genuine about it, like, hey, I'm really passionate about this, you know, and then ask some practical questions. I'm down to listen all day long. I love pointing people in that direction because, yeah. you know, I think it brings life. And honestly, I think, I don't know, maybe the world would be a better place if people pursued more of what they're passionate about versus just kind of, I mean, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, but I think it'd be a more interesting place anyway. Yeah.
I totally agree. Just to see something ignited and sparked in people where they go, oh, I really could try. I've had this idea in the back of my head forever. Like, what do you think about that? Like, should I do it?
Yeah.
Really? I would always say yes. Again, unless it was, like you said, like a bonehead thing where you go, well, I mean, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But yes.
Well, I don't want to poo-poo on anybody's idea because it may or may not be boneheaded because there's, I mean, people out there that you know, there was this, I'm a little ADD. I apologize to the audience, but there's this little shop on Lower Marsh in Waterloo, London. And I'd come off the tube every day and walk past this place. Not every day, but quite a bit. And it was like I don't want to offend anyone out there because I was more fascinated by it. But like knitting groups are like on the rise, like crazy. I would walk by this little shop on Lower Marsh, just walking past. And there'd be like, it just ran. And people would like, they're, you know, I don't know.
Yes, just, the knitting needles.
I was just like, I almost joined. I don't know if that's true.
Yes, I mean, take a knitting class. I'll take a knitting class. I can teach you to knit in like 1 hour.
I can make my own clothes.
You will be exactly.
Straight abomination. Yeah.
It's sustainable. You know, learn how to make your own stuff.
Right on.
I could absolutely teach you how to knit in 1 hour.
Okay. You heard it, folks. 1 hour knitting.
Watch out. You scarves everybody for Christmas.
You all get scarves and gloves. I'm going to have my own needles set in a box.
You're ready.
Yeah. Oh, another side note. My daughter, I picked her up from school, and they had this little, like, postcard in it for, like, Taekwondo or something. And she handed it to me, and she's like, Daddy, I want to go to ninja school this summer. I'm so sending her
to ninja school.
Ninja. My daughter's a ninja.
She absolutely should.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. I want to see some posts about that.
Yeah.
I want to see a picture of your daughter in ninja school.
Billy.baru. That's my Instagram. Like, I'm unplugged from anything else.
Yeah. Is that
mostly my daughter? Daughter's just bing, bing, bing.
Is that where people can find you? Like, are there so? Tell us all your spaces that we can find you.
That's pretty much it. Billy.baru on Instagram. Yeah, I had some kind friends make a website for this film.
Nice.
Bluebellsfilm.com.
.com.
And it's live, it's up, but I think we'll utilize some of that more just even project-wise and projects to come. We'll utilize that some more.
Sweet.
But you know, those two spots are typically, I think Instagram, maybe. You can tell I'm a bit of a Luddite. Like, I'll use technology and whatnot, but there's some measure of, I think I connected Instagram to Twitter, so.
Okay.
But if you press me right now, I think Twitter might be Billy.fray, F-R-A-Y, but I couldn't tell you.
Not really sure.
No, I'm not verified for a reason.
Well, can you give us a little bit of a synopsis of the film too? Oh, yeah. So you mentioned the website and, you know, not to give anything away in your film because we don't want to,
spoilers
give it away.
Here.
No spoilers.
No.
But can you give us just a brief snapshot of what?
Yeah, and if you get time, there'll soon be, it seems a little silly to me in some ways to have a trailer for like an 11-minute film.
Not silly at all.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it's like, again, not a math guy, but it seems like that's a third of the film if you do a trailer.
No!
But we're going to do it. So that'll be up on the website too. But essentially, it is a ghost story.
Uh-huh.
And it's set, I've been saying Amish-ish. Because it's not full on Amish, but it's an Amish woman-ish. That's encountering paranormal activity with a ghost in her home. And the storyline is about this ghost trying to find peace and this woman trying to help and interact, like, what's going on in my world and what do I do? Like, you know, what does this ghost want? So that's the storyline as it unfolds. But it's a pretty cool, I guess it falls in the thriller realms because it's got that vibe to it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Sort of the Sixth Sense or The Village, that sort of feel.
It's going to freak me out. I'm getting scared.
Well, it depends what you like. Like, this film won't be for any. I was realizing I was putting my kids to bed last night and they were asking to see it. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know. I probably would. My my oldest one's got a darker sort of side to it. She would dig it, you know, but it's, I don't, I think I enjoy films that sort of call out the, you know, it seems simple, but there's like layers to it, like just what ifs. So like right. You find yourself thinking about it later, like what could that mean or what does that mean? You know, so if you've ever had like fascination on some level with spiritual realms or mm-hmm. ghosts or that, this isn't one. I don't particularly like movies that just make me so jumpy and I have to keep the light on, or so bloody gory that it's right. just like, what was that for? You know?
Right.
Yeah. People dig it. That particular type of movie, fine. This is not that. I think this fits more in the sort of the what if realms and just has a nice, I just like, I like melancholy, creepy vibes. So it's sort of in that, even if you'll see as it's shot, like it's shot in that, the cadence of it is nice. Like that. So, yeah.
When do you think it's going to be out?
Well, it should be in the can by the end of this week. So we'll have a screening sometime in June, I would imagine, mm-hmm. free. So wherever that pops up, you guys can come. One of the women that's in the film, she's going to do the press kit and the promotion stuff. So we're hoping that we'll get it into some film festivals. The Rain Dance Film Festival in London, they'll, if we make it into it, they'll let us know by August. Mm-hmm. So that would happen this fall nice. Or autumn for your overseas listeners. And then we're going to try South by Southwest in the spring uh-huh. out of Austin and Sundance out of Utah and maybe Cannes. Those are the ones that we're just trying to get it in festival wise. But we're hoping to have like just some screenings, mm-hmm. like whether it's Kentucky Theater or some place in Louisville or just even some friends and cast and what have you. Mm-hmm. I think the deal is you just can't charge money, which benefits everyone.
Right. Right.
You know, so we'll provide food and drink and just have 10 minutes of amazing film watching.
Yeah.
And just some hanging out and hopefully just creative inspiration happening where people say, yeah, I could do that, or I could do better, or do something else that's in the realm of creativity. So
spark something for people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the hope. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Or just think. Come throw tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Chuck them. I'll make a tomato salad. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have there's a couple of questions that I ask everybody.
Yeah.
That come onto the podcast. So what do you, and this is kind of heady, and it could be serious, it could be light.
Okay.
Both of these questions. So just whatever you're feeling. Mm-hmm. What do you think people in the world need right now?
You know, it springs to mind. I heard somebody say it. It'll sound funny, but I heard somebody say the other day, the world needs more fighting. But I actually liked it, like in the sense they were needing, like just fighting for one another,
yeah.
like instead of fighting one another. But it's
fighting for.
I mean, because my answer, my knee jerk answer to people when they ask that, I'm like, because I don't have to look too far for myself to answer that. Like in my own relationships, I guess my response would be kindness, mm-hmm. you know, because whenever I'm not the best version of myself, I'm not particularly kind, like whether it's mm-hmm. to my kids or my wife or just people in general, in traffic especially, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, when am I looking out for people? You know, like yesterday I had an opportunity to help, like I mentioned Home Depot and I was there and I saw, you know, a lady, but I was so like self-hyphenated in what I was doing. I was going to offer like to help. So I saw she had like a big bag of something mm-hmm. and it wasn't a sexist, like, oh, I'm going to help you because you can't lift it. But I was so about getting my stuff done. I just kind of walked by. And as I walked past, I saw her wrestling the bag and I realized she had like a newborn baby in a carrier. And I was like, gosh, you know, those are the opportunities on a small scale of just being kind.
Right.
Like I could have helped in that moment. And I think on a global scale, you know, you blow that up to a bigger thing. It's like when people have their own agendas or, you know, beliefs or, like are radical about something, that tends to be when things start falling apart and bombs start going off and guns and harming one another and just being more about your self-interest than another person's interest, you know, looking, you know, at where there's so much brokenness in the world and like there's not clean water or for kids or people are being harmed or abused. And it's like, where's the justice? Where's the, you know, and I think beyond kindness, there's a measure of like responsibility that it's like, how many times do we say empty words of like, I'll pray for you or I'll do, you know, like where's the action on the other side? Now praying I think is important for people, but where on the backside is like where somebody's lost someone important to them or you know, it doesn't even have to be a family member, it could be a friend or, you know, even a pet that's lost. It's like, cook them a meal, you know, don't, you know, be the hands and feet of what you're praying for instead of just putting it out there of like, so sorry. That may be true and that's good, but it's like, where, you know, what would you want as a person to feel cared for, you know? And so I think for so much hurt in the world, I don't know if it's ever really going to come back. You know, it may just be on a downward spiral, but on that spiral, it's like, where's the decency and humanity and the love that is actually put in action to change things? I don't know. That's my opinion only, but that's, can't go wrong with kindness, right?
You cannot go wrong with kindness. You absolutely cannot.
Yeah.
I'll be kinder to each other.
It's almost like people don't know what to do with it. I've discovered, like when I've been kind, like in the last, minus the woman with the baby and the big sack, whatever she had, like, I think I've had people in traffic or in this, moving back, it's been like reverse culture shock. Like I've been yelled at a few times that I don't know what I've done. And it's a little bit like, I don't know what to say. Cause you know, it's just such a new experience. Not that you can't get yelled at in other places, but just coming back and my choice has been to extend kindness or just like my bad, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And I found that people don't know what to do with it. Like they're so like, especially in traffic, like they're so, you know, just, it's like they're looking for a fight or an argument.
Wired for aggression.
Yeah. 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 And if you meet it with this sort of like, oh my bad, dude, I was just trying to get over, I don't even got to get my kid to school or whatever. They're just like you. And then it's like, they lock up. And it's like, oh, okay, man. You know, just happened this morning, actually.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And the guy was, yeah, he was just trying to get through traffic. And I was trying to drop my kid off at school. And he was like making a lane for himself. And he pulled up with a scowl on his face. And I looked over and just smiled at him. And it was like, he had a great smile. He came back from this furrowed brow to this big grin. And it was just this moment of like, it's kind of a bro moment.
A bro moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, a big smiley bro moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we were both just trying to take our kids to school. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What is, I just have the picture in my head right now of you having this bro moment.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's bringing me a lot of joy. So
happy.
That makes me happy. Last question.
Yeah.
What is bringing you joy right now?
Oh yeah. This will sound at risk of sounding a little bit hokey, but, I'll start with men. Never undervalue like a good night's sleep.
Oh my yes.
gosh, dude, that is just, man, it's like Buddy the Elf. If I can get a full 45 minutes, but if I can get like 7 hours, that's like the most spiritual thing I think you can do is like, just be well rested. And on occasion I'll even like, you know, if I can slow down eating the leftover Pop-Tarts and feed my kids and just start eating right and just feel better in general. Like there's that. Is that the question? Like what?
Well, that what's bringing you joy.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sleep always brings me joy.
Yeah. The hokey part of it, I think, is like my kids, man, like a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, almost 3-year-old. The wonder that they have is truly like joy bringing to me. Like I can take them to the Arboretum and it's like every flower that they've seen is just an amazing creation. Like how did this happen? And like, what, this isn't a real flower. I know.
How did that happen?
How that happened. I know. But just the joy and the wonder that they have, it just feeds me. Like I'm excited to be around that. Because we take so much for granted, And the simplicity of the child is like so joy. That coupled with, man, I love it when they pile on me. Like, I don't know if it's a Papa Bear in me or something that I never knew was there, but like when they just like pile on me and they're just like, they're my ones, you know, I love kids in general now, which I never knew, but when they pile on me and coupled with that joy, don't get me wrong, they could be monsters as well, which would be, what's the opposite of joy? Joy sucking.
Yeah, we'll go with that term.
Yeah, they're very vampiric. I wanted to use that word somewhere, and I'm glad I got to use it here.
There you go.
You can say it again. Look it up. Vampiric. Yeah, a lot of people don't know it's a word.
It is. Yeah. It is a word. Yeah.
Exsanguination. Vampiric. These are the vocabulary.
Maybe that'll
words
be the title of your next short.
Oh yeah. Ooh. Oh man, I've got an idea for another one. Just got it. You can send money to this thing on. Yeah.
We will start putting up GoFundMe links on the podcast.
Yeah. Can it work backwards? That would be another earlier question, like the budget I set for Bluebell's doubled. So yeah. Yeah. If you still want to go to my GoFundMe.
You can still go to the GoFundMe.
See, I don't even know how to send a link.
And
you send a link? Yeah.
We will put a link.
I'll do it.
We will put a link on the show notes.
Even any amount, like even if it's like 25 cents.
That'd be helpful.
What can I get for that? Could you pour a little Pepsi in my hand? Yeah. So I'm getting a little batty. But yeah, this is.
It's all the espresso. Yeah. It's all the espresso we've been
having. It's the espresso. It's these velvety chairs.
The nice. Green velvet chairs we love.
Yes. That should be your. Does this show have a name?
Well, the show is the Sandy Savage Show, but
change it to the Green Velvet Chair.
I really thought about changing it to the Velvet Chair.
The Velvet Chair, dude. Velvet Elvis.
I love some velvet. I do.
Yeah. Teach me how to knit. I'll make a velvet shirt.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We can knit with velvet.
We've hemorrhaged. We've got to get off this.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. Okay. Thank you so much, Billy.
Oh man, joy to be here.
Always totally stoked to have you here. Anytime.
Man, just keep serving up these George Clooney espressos and I'm here though.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
Well, thank you all for listening. Oh my gosh. So we will have every link and resource over there on the website. So you can head to the show notes and get all the information that you need that we talked about today. And I want to give a special thank you to all of our subscribers. Hey, if you're not a subscriber yet, go on and subscribe so you know when a new show comes out. And gosh, if you can, just go rate and review it. Give a little thumbs up. That is super, super helpful to us. Gosh, you all are such a great community, and I love getting to share life with y'all. From the whole Savage crew, have a great week, and I'll see you next time.